Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, this is Dr. Andy Barlow with the Chiropractic Physician Center of Tupelo and author of the number one best-selling book, The Codebreaker. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then call my office at 662-844-1414 and order my new book, The Codebreaker.
Yellow here with another Mississippi Magic story to share with you. This one's a bit different. While the Magnolia State's history is replete with legendary headliners in arts and entertainment, sports and business, we also have our share of, shall we say, unusual characters. This is one of them. As a matter of fact, many people would probably vouch for the fact that he may be, at least in modern history, the most notable quirky character of them all. So much so that he captured the headlines and the audiences from Mississippi to most of the civilized world. This is a story of a man's endeavor to change the world in an episode titled Ahead of His Time or Ahead of His Mind. The story unfolds after this very special message from Bruce Devaney himself.
Hey, I'm Bruce Devaney with Devaney Equipment. In the 53 years that we have been in business, this is probably the strangest time I think that we've had ever in business. The coronavirus has made us all relook at the way we do business, and every day we look at what can we do today that might help prevent us getting sick or getting somebody else sick around us. Number one, we're still open for business. For those that maybe aren't comfortable coming in a dealership, if you'll call ahead, talk to our parts department, service department, rental, sales, any of our departments, we will come out to the car. We'll bring you your parts out to the car for curbside pickup. We'll work out with you where you can just drop a tractor off for service. Rentals, the same thing. Sales, we'll meet you out in the parking lot to show you equipment. We're doing what we can to protect our employees and our customers from maybe spreading this virus. Hopefully in the next few weeks, this will be gone and it'll be a bad memory, but we will come out of this. Kubota is doing some things. They're doing skip payment for 90 days on a lot of their products right now. We've been here a long time and would love to work with you in any of your needs going forward. And I hope everybody has a great day and look forward to meeting you soon.
Now we return to this episode of Mississippi Magic titled Ahead of His Time or Ahead of His Mind. From the very start, Joe's endeavor to save the planet didn't seem very likely. From his home in Mississippi, he was about as much of an outsider as one could imagine. Joe didn't have the credentials, the formal training, the connections, nor the paper trail that he needed to be taken seriously at his craft. Secondly, if Joe's unbelievable invention became successful, some of the world's most powerful politicians and companies on the planet would have him as their number one enemy. That's pretty daunting, but it never seemed to faze Joe. That's why most people wondered, was he ahead of his time or ahead of his mind? In all of his quirkiness, the Mississippi guy had a country gift of gab. When word of his amazing invention hit the news, it captivated the headlines. Every radio talk show, late-night TV network, seminar, symposium, all dished out invitations to Joe to appear and explain how he, a country boy from Mississippi, had invented something that the greatest scientist ever on earth could not. The national media turned Country Joe into a worldwide celebrity. The masses couldn't get enough information about Joseph Wesley Newman, Lucedale, Mississippi inventor, and his perpetual motion free energy machine that could end our very dependence on oil and gas. Joe was nonstop in his sales pitch to everyone who would listen. And there were many, from thousands of curious folks who paid a dollar to get into the Superdome in New Orleans to watch him demonstrate his energy machine, all the way to coverage on the major networks and even the late-night talk shows.
What's the answer to the energy crisis? Suppose a fellow told you the answer was in a machine he has developed. Before you scoff, take a look with Bruce Hall.
In the backwoods of Mississippi, a mile down this dirt road, past the keep out and no trespassing signs, is the workshop of Joe Newman, a brilliant, self-educated inventor who says he has developed a machine that could solve the energy crisis.
Now back to Take Two on CNN.
What if someone invented a machine that would make the gasoline engine obsolete? That person would probably be hailed as the greatest scientist since Einstein. Joseph Wesley Newman claims to have invented just such a machine.
Dr. E.L. Morang, one of the men involved in the making of the atomic bomb, wrote, "Your project will lead to developments that would be beneficial to all mankind."
More More than 30 scientists and technicians have tested the energy machine, and they agree it works.
Would you welcome, please, Joseph Newman. Nice to meet you.
I appreciate you having me.
Do you think your machine, if it can be commercially made available, can, for example, a person would buy a 300 or 400 pound unit and all of a sudden would be able to produce all of the energy they need for their home? Is that certainly within the realm of possibility?
Exactly. I have absolutely no doubt about it. That such a device hooked to a home, a person will never have to pay for energy again. The device will be made smaller as a put in an automobile, plane, spacecraft, you name it, this device.
Using the atoms and from the magnetic field.
And what you're doing is that you're converting mass into energy on a 100% conversion process.
You get more wattage out of that than
what you'd put in. In fact, Rayovac Battery Company is working with me now trying to design a battery to hold up to this recharging effect of this system. Because not only will it run the device, it'll put more energy back into the battery pack than came out of it.
That's fascinating.
Thousands came to the Superdome. They were wide-eyed and waiting to watch Joe's energy machine come to life. The homemade 500-pound device with its huge armatures that he and his wife had painfully wound by hand on the floor of their kitchen was implanted under the hood of a candy apple red Sterling sports car. With Mississippi's Joe Newman giving play-by-play to the excited crowd, he turned the switch on as the armatures began to spin, and the car came to life and moved slowly across the floor of the Superdome, while the crowd erupted in applause. While all of this was happening, most of the scientists simply ignored Joe Newman. The very prospect of someone from Mississippi with very little formal education as a scientist and no record of scientific accomplishments overturning the most basic laws of physics, laws that have withstood every challenge, seemed much too unlikely to even bother with. And then there were the major oil companies and their friends in Congress. And even beyond the power of the oil industry was another mountain of legitimacy for Joe to climb. You see, most noted scientists seemed unable to deal with Joe because, well, he hadn't followed the rules. New scientific findings are normally shared first with a few close colleagues and perhaps tested in an approved setting that met the prestige environment of those noted scientists. And then, if all is proven and validated, there would normally be a formally presented reveal at some scientific conference. None of that was happening. Joe was a rogue. And then, meanwhile, back in Lucedale, Mississippi, Joe Newman was making the wrong kind of news. Seems the title of mad scientist now were printed in larger fonts on some of the front pages. The state of Mississippi's welfare department took custody of an 8-year-old child in his Mississippi home. Joe said he had followed God's orders by marrying his secretary, Ann Mazelle Harrell, 30 years old, and her 8-year-old daughter. And as to the wife he was still married to for 14 years, she packed up and moved to her parents' home in Alabama. Joe said it was from a religious experience that he received the revelation from God to marry this woman and her child. Joe Newman spent 5 years in his legal battle with the U.S. Patent Office for approval of a machine that he said produced more energy than it consumed. But in the end, after tests conducted for several months by the National Bureau of Standards, his patent was rejected. According to their research, the energy machine's output power was less than the power input from the battery pack, and therefore the efficiency was less than 100%. Joe Newman argued that he had been mistreated by the patent office and tried to have his motor legalized directly by the U.S. Congress. He actually obtained a hearing in July of 1986 in front of several U.S. senators, but that was unsuccessful. During that packed congressional hearing, U.S. Senator John Glenn rejected support of Joe's machine, referring to data given to him by the National Bureau of Standards.
Obtaining the patent seems to be almost impossible. Examples. December 1981, following the patent application, Joe Newman calls the patent office to talk with an examiner. He is told they don't want to talk to him. Newman protests to his congressman, and a meeting between the inventor and patent officers is arranged in Washington.
And also at the time of this meeting, they gave me 2 minutes.
So in little less than a year, the U.S. Patent Office has told the man who just may have an amazing machine. Number one, they didn't want to talk with him. Number two, they will never give him a patent. Number three, the invention has a hidden energy device. Number four, there is no hidden energy device. Your invention works, but your description of the invention is inadequate. And finally, your description is adequate. Your invention does not work.
And now 31 people with scientific backgrounds have signed legal documents swearing to the machine's validity.
Now looking back, the viewpoint of many of the news stories swung all the way from Joe B. being a quack to John Glenn being bought off by powerful people who didn't want the invention to be mass-produced because it would put them out of business. Joe Newman died March 6, 2015, at the age of 78. He never saw his dreams come true. As an author, he left behind a book still purchased by skeptics and admirers alike, titled The Energy Machine of Joseph Newman. And as an inventor, he leaves behind just as many skeptics and admirers. Some who think him a mad scientist, and many others who think he got the shaft from powerful people who stopped his dream of a free energy machine. One way or the other, Mississippi's Joseph Newman's own personal energy still charges a lot of discussions, from documentaries to even this song from the band Big Black titled Newman Generator.
Who owns the machine? I do. That's right, I do. Who owns the key? That's right, I do.
Well, the question still rages on today. If Joe Newman was ahead of his time or maybe ahead of his mind, it's become a real possibility that his legacy as an inventor and maybe even a folk hero could live on in perpetual motion. And oh, by the way, there's one other thing Joe Newman leaves behind, one that helps make our workout a bit more peaceful.
I'm just an old country boy.
Yeah, you say you have no training in physics or mathematics as such?
That's right. A lot of people are familiar with the plastic-covered weights. First thing I invented.
Oh, the barbells with the plastic coverings?
Yeah.
That's your invention.
I designed the equipment to make it, and I just scratched up on a piece of paper, carried it to a machine shop. They'd build it, and everybody's made it, things would always work.
Right.
And I said, well, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. Didn't have any doubt about it.
That's it. Plastic-covered weights. The life and legacy of Joseph Wesley Newman. Also proving that even the most unusual of characters in the Magnolia State seem to be energized with a bit of Mississippi magic.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.